Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. We are floundering in the depths of a crisis concerning sexual morality, declares a leading article in one of our top religious magazines. Professor Patiram Sarikin of Harvard University sees us fast drifting toward sex anarchy, declaring we are victims of a sex mania as malignant as cancer and as socially menacing as communism. Our sex obsession, declares Sarikin, is reflected in the ever-mounting divorce rate, the upsurge in sex crimes, the emphasis of sex in radio and TV programs, stage plays and movies, popular songs, pictures, reading matter, and advertising. Our morals have changed so notably, says this Harvard professor, that continency, chastity, and faithfulness are increasingly viewed as oddities, as the ossified survival of a prehistorical age. Similarly, describing our age as one of sex hysteria, Dr. Goodrich Schauffler observes, our youth in particular have become engulfed in the flood of Hollywood's insane emphasis on sex, along with the sex stimuli of modern advertising. In London, a Church of England spokesman warns that sex will take over as the main driving force of modern life if religion decays. My friends, the Creator who endowed man with the power to reproduce the race, even giving command, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, has not ordained the sensual lusts and passions and perverted desires that today has many in its awful grip. As a result of uncontrolled lust and unrestrained passion, homes have been broken, hearts painfully stricken by a moment's fling at what the world calls love, and countless numbers of souls have been lost. Statistical reports released by the United States Public Health Service for the last year wherein the records are available informs us that 208,700 babies were born out of wedlock last year. One in every 20 children born illegitimately. Oh, how tragic, how sad, my friends, for little lives that bear the marks of sin's ruination, even before given a real chance at life, without proper parents to stand guard over their souls. How wonderful, on the other hand, to have loving Christian parents who wanted us, who sacrificially cared for us, who sought to raise us, their children, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The Apostle Paul would warn, flee youthful lusts, run away from sin's enticement as you would a ravenous beast or a poisonous serpent. Solomon warns of the woman improperly attired who attracts the gaze of an innocent young man, who beckons, come and let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. With her fair speech she caused him to yield. Listen to this wise man's keen observation as he writes further, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. What words of wisdom these! Again this exhortation. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. These words are addressed to a young man who is already married, who in the newness of married life wears off, is tempted to search for other lovers. To follow such a course of action is to be ensnared ultimately and be haunted by bitter memories of illicit love. Rather, declares the proverbial writer, rejoice with the wife of thy youth, and be thou ravished always with her love. God has ordained, my friends, love to be forever, and marriage for keeps. Did you not promise to love and cherish till death do you part? Then away with thoughts of separation, divorce, unfaithfulness, for these are tools of Satan to deceive and destroy you. The Apostle James shows the progression as to how one is led into sin and error and ultimately destroyed in the flames of eternal death. Writes James, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. O young man, young girl, don't yield to the enticement of lust. Don't be attracted to each other simply on the basis of physical attractiveness. Ponder well your decisions. Whom to date? Where to go? What to do? Keep thyself pure should be the motto of every young man and every young woman finding friendship in one another's company. Don't yield to that first kiss or first embrace unless you know God has planned it. And it is performed under the guidance of His Spirit with pure intent and at the proper moment. Marriage is honorable, and kisses and caresses are to be reserved until that day when, standing at the sacred altar, vows of love are exchanged. Then and then only should marriage hold the highest, most joyous of relationships. Now remember, don't yield to lust, for clothed in its garments is the dagger of desire that can never be satisfied. How many today are ensnared in the overwhelming tide of temptation that has its origin in sexual desire, which if yielded to leads ultimately to the grossest of sins? Take warning from the Bible which says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, did you hear it, friend? These are the sins of our times, condoned by society, glamorized by Hollywood. Adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be lost in hell forever. That should strike terror to every soul guilty of persisting in these awful sins. Billy Graham, in his book, The Secret of Happiness, says, let me warn you that the Scriptures teach that God hates immorality as much as or more than any other sin. Graham goes on to say, you can commit immorality while reading unclean books, looking at unclean pictures. You can commit immorality by the way you dress. Continues Graham, if you women purposely dress to entice a man to sin, then you are guilty, whether the act is committed or not. Surely the immodest dress of our times is responsible for much of the sex hysteria, the stirred passions, and resultant sins we have just mentioned. Follow the news and you'll discover the depths into which we have degraded. For instance, in a Pennsylvania community, the Burgess placed a ban on women wearing shorts in public, and so great were the protests of the women themselves, the edict was rescinded. In Japan, the indecent exposure of the wives of Americans stationed there finally found it necessary for the commanding officer to post a sergeant at the door of the commissary. And every woman who showed up wearing a bathing suit, shorts, slacks, blue jeans, pedal pushers, or halter was politely but firmly turned away. Amid cries of protest from the outraged women, the colonel's ban stood, however. The rape of the Congo has somewhat been attributed by one of our news magazines to white women appearing in shorts, inviting the attack of these Congolese troops who said they thought all such were, quote, bad women. Now, my friends, today immodesty, once common only to the brothel, is on parade in our streets, attracting the lustful eyes of men. It would seem clear from the word of God that to yield to nakedness is to yield to Satan himself. That the trend toward nudity is demon-inspired is evidenced in the behavior of the man of Gadara, possessed of an unclean spirit, until Jesus came and cast out the devil, after which we see him clothed, whereas before we read he wear no clothes. Not only are those who appear immodestly dressed under the judgment of Almighty God, Jesus declared, looking on a woman to lust after her was as heinous a sin as the very act of adultery. He further warned that it were better to pluck out one's eyes than to let the fire of lust eat into the core and fiber of the soul and one perish forever in hell. Witnessing the moral degeneracy so common today, especially as seen in the immodesty of our times, paying dividends of intensified sex crimes, perversion, adultery, and divorce, we can't help but believe that our cup of iniquity is full and judgment is about to fall. On account of moral laxity and unrestrained desire, God destroyed past civilizations, my friends, assuring us in the scriptures he will do it again. Peter tells us that Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed by fire, stand as an example to all who afterward should live ungodly. Jude likewise cites these cities given over to fornication, going after strange flesh, now suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It's apparent that these cities not only suffered physical destruction, but their inhabitants are already in the place of torment, from whence they shall be brought forth, ultimately judged, and returned again to the burning flame. O friend, may we heed God's warning today. It does not pay to go on in our sins, not in this life, or in the life to come. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, eternal separation from God, amid the cries and pleas of the lost to whom is shown no mercy. Rather, today is a day of salvation. The door of mercy is still ajar. All who come in genuine repentance with a desire to be saved still may enter. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The scripture makes it clear. The wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. Whereas to come to Christ and receive his forgiveness and to be born again is to enjoy the splendors and wonders and glories of eternal bliss with our blessed Lord. Friend, count the cost today. Weigh the facts as they relate themselves to your salvation. See the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It was for you he died, and if in desperation over your sin, a willing desire to turn from your sin, you come to Christ and discover pardon and forgiveness and a new life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Won't you trust Christ today?
Will you be ready?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.